Hello, this is Pearls in Swine. Today, my usual sidekicks are not with me, and we have some special guests here for you today. We have Josh and Katie Gushert. They are heading out to the Solomon Islands. I thought that was some islands off of Alaska, and they were going to be spreading the good news of Jesus to some native people up there, or that's not the proper term. You're not allowed to say that, are you?
Yeah, I don't even know.
I don't know. So some First Nation people will go Canadian on that one, and eating whale blubber, but that is absolutely not true. They're actually going to the Solomon Islands, the other Solomon Islands, which is where, Josh?
Southwest Pacific. It's about 1,000 miles northeast of Australia. It's straight east of Papua New Guinea, if you're familiar with that region.
Well, no, because I'm American. So, yeah. No, I'm not.
So it's the middle of the Southwest Pacific. It's really only prime real estate for people that are concerned about international shipping and travel over there in that region.
And so what's kind of like the major trade and things like that over in that area?
There's not a lot of major trade. They do a little bit of tourism. They export lumber, some, I guess, hardwoods that are grown in the tropics, a little bit of mining and fishing and whatnot. But for the most part, the people there are subsistence farmers living out of whatever they grow in their gardens. So.
And it's unique in the sense that there's some different languages there, and the scriptures have not been translated into those languages. And that's part of the reason I understand that you guys are going is to work with the translators and to help to navigate that process of the Word of God going into those languages.
Yep. Yep. There are 70 different languages in the Solomons. And then there's one primary language. Their official language is English, but less than 1% of the population speaks it. About 40% speak a Creole form of English called Pidgin English, which is local to the Solomons. That's kind of the lingua franca that people can communicate for trade and basic commerce and whatnot. And so, yeah, out of all those languages, 6 have the full Word of God translated. And I believe it's 20 now that have the New Testament. But the rest of them either have stuff finally in progress or nothing at all, waiting for God's Word.
So you guys were here. You lived in this area for how long did you guys live up here?
Deferring to the wife on this one?
6 years.
Okay.
6 years. And Josh was...
Actually, that's not true. It was 8 years.
Eight years.
There you go.
8 years.
See, I'm the one that always gets the dates wrong, but this time it was her. All the pressure.
Yeah. And so Josh was working as a manager at Walmart, mm-hmm. and... Katie, you were doing all kinds of stuff, including taking care of a pile of kids and rabbits and farming and all of the other things that were on your playlist. Tell us the story of the movement of God in your life from the point of going, I think God's calling us to a place that we've never been before, because you've never been there, correct?
No, we have not.
So you've seen Google Maps of it, but other than that, that's about the
visits. Had to look it up when we first heard about it. We were like, where is that?
Tell us the story of that and how God has kind of prepared you to go into that place.
You want to do this one? I keep taking all the questions.
We knew we wanted to go overseas somewhere when we graduated from college, but we had a lot of debt from going to a private school and getting a degree that was for missions and not a markable. We couldn't just go get jobs and pay off those school loans right away. So our plans were delayed. And in that process, we found ourselves continuing to say, well, when we are missionaries or when we go overseas or when we finally get there. And we didn't like that. We were like, no, that's not right. We need to be missionaries wherever God puts us. If that's islands off Alaska or islands off Australia or, Michigan, wherever that ends up being, we need to be used by him wherever we are. So that just really changed our mindset and the concept that we later heard you talk about of blooming where you're planted. And then in that process, we had kids and we bought a house to try to flip and,
That's when the housing market crashed.
Right. try to get there quicker, pay off those school loans more quickly. And that didn't work out. So then we find ourselves in the UP and here for a while because we're thinking, well, maybe God's going to use us in Walmart. He's going to send us overseas with Walmart. And then that didn't work out. So
tell us about there was some confusion at Walmart. There were some changes going on. You got a little bit confused on the whole thing.
I don't know if there was confusion on their part. But for me, it was definitely a – you know, when I got started with Walmart, the idea of working for Walmart International was one of the few things that I was like, oh, this might be a career, not just a holdover job till we could find something else that was better. And so then when that eventually led to the management position, which led us up here to the UP – it was something where I was kind of like, God, this is nothing that I there's nothing about retail that I like, but I'm game for whatever. If this is something you want me to do, then help me do it well and to find favor with the people that I'll be working with. And I really felt like that he did bless me in that as far as there was – I mean, you could ask any people that worked for me. There was very little about retail that I understood even over the years that it was challenging to try to get why people would buy certain things. But Walmart had a really great system with operations and people, and that was what I really enjoyed. And working with my teams, working with my coworkers, and just trying to make the system work well. And I enjoyed that piece of it a lot, and it was a great education as far as that goes. But then – so then about 3 years ago now – actually, yeah, 3 years ago, they decided they were going to do some huge overhauls at Walmart, and I believe it was about 8,000 people were affected in the position I was in that they were going to eliminate. And then with some miscommunications, I was given some really bad options that were not feasible, and the only option that I even remotely thought would be worthwhile for my family was to take a severance package. And I was a little shocked by that, but – I went home, prayed about it, and I felt like God was giving me peace that, yeah, it's time to go and to leave Walmart. And I remember just being like, okay. And so I was at peace with that and walked out the door saying, now what? You know, and I wasn't upset with God, but I was definitely, I like you were confused because it was like, what are you doing? I know you are good enough, God, that I can't be angry at you like you're doing something wrong to us. But man, am I freaking out. I got five little kids. We're sitting here in this place that we followed you to the UP, and here you are pulling the rug out from beneath my feet. I'm no longer going to be able to take this option to go with Walmart overseas like we were kind of hoping and dreaming in the first place. And that was the only thing that made sense to me. And it was very, very tumultuous in my spirit, but it really felt like God was saying, I got this. I got this. And it was like, and all I could say was, I trust you. Now, did I know what was going on? Nope. and that was definitely a pivotal piece at that point. So we started praying about it and just really felt like God was giving us more of a passion for missions than we'd already had. And
well, I would add that while you were a little like, oh no, what's going to happen? I was like, ooh, maybe we get to go do missions now.
Yeah, yeah. And I felt like we both, you know, the more we prayed about it, the more both of us felt like God was saying, yes, this is the time. And it was like, well, this is really exciting. Our student loans are all paid off. Except for instead of doing life the way we thought it would be right out of college, instead it was like we felt like we were fighting having to live the American dream all that time. And it was just going and going and going.
Like the temptation, you mean?
Well, yeah. We were putting down roots. We owned two houses. It was just insanity. And it was like, and I was doing well with Walmart. You know, we paid off all our debts, and we were making money. And it was like, this is ridiculous. This is not what we want. This is not what, you know. And then to have God pull that rug out from underneath me, it was like, I don't know what you're doing, God. I really don't. And that was where, through, I mean, different promptings of the Holy Spirit, just led us to eventually to feel like he was leading us toward the Bible translation, and that led us to Wycliffe, which led us to this opportunity with the Solomon Islands. And it was so awesome to sit there and look at all the ways that God had prepared us for this position in the Solomon Islands. One of the coolest things was that as he was going through, the guy I was talking with about it, he was going through the job description of what I need to do to be the operations manager at the main National Translation Center in the Solomons. And he's going through the list, and probably 90 or 95% of what is on the list is things that Walmart trained me to do as an operations manager of people, their system. A lot of that stuff were things, skills that I did not have in college that I was able to learn while we were paying off our student loans, having our family, going through all the weird dietary things that we had and the education factor. And it was just incredible how God had prepared so much of me for that. And so That was the biggest thing for me. And then to find out, and the guy, when I asked him about the missing, why it was so hard to fill that role. And he was like, it's just so remote. You're going to have to, you know, live without American conveniences, in your cooking. You're going to have to make some really hard decisions. You have to learn to homeschool your kids. And, you know, we hadn't told him that part about our lives, but it was kind of funny. It was amazing to see how God preparing us, even Katie and the children, to be ready to be able to jump into a role like this.
Yeah. So there was a time of preparation that God was using in your life, and Walmart, because God can use whatever he wants to use, was that vehicle for you, Josh.
Definitely.
And yet, Katie, there were some vehicles in which God used in your life to prepare you for this place, to go to the Solomon Island. You've already mentioned that it's a really remote place. And what are some of those things that God used kind of in your life that you thought, maybe, I'm not sure I would have done this, but because of circumstances, you were able to be prepared for this next step?
Yeah, I would definitely say homeschool was not on my radar. I remember Josh brought it up once when I was pregnant with Aaron or something. And he was like, what about homeschool? And I was like, you can homeschool. I'll go to work. Like, I'm not doing that. So never would have planned to do that. And then just through some educational needs that my son ended up having and us moving up here too, like, cause I had it just the area we moved to and the timing of it all made me look into it when I never even considered it. I never even opened the book on it. And looking into it, I was like, wow, this actually could be fun. This is just what I think our family needs. This is great. And ended up doing it. And not that it's super easy all the time, but it is definitely something I enjoy and feel confident in, prepared to go to the Solomon Islands rather than we're going and I'm learning that piece along with a new language and everything else that goes with moving overseas. So that was one thing. Also, my youngest at the time, but he's our third, had severe food allergies. He was severely allergic to dairy and gluten. And when we took him to the doctor, which again was up here, the doctors down where we were living didn't really give me any options for helping him beyond avoiding those foods. I saw a doctor here who said, you know, I don't think this is a true allergy. Why don't you try this elimination diet and see if you can cure it? And I checked with the husband and he was like, sure, we'll try it. And we tried it and it really worked. It was long and tedious, but in the process, learned a lot of things about cooking and health and ways to keep my family healthy in their immune system and whatnot. So anyway, huge, huge step up for us in that as well.
So here, when we need food, some people, obviously, we do have gardens and things of that nature, but we go to Walmart or we go to our friends at Tonics or we go to the Campioni family and say, hey, you've got a great selection. We'll take it off the shelf. And yet that seems like that is not the case in the Solomon Islands. It's not as clear cut as that. The supply chain isn't as developed maybe as here, even though we're in a little bit of a remote area. This is an extremely remote area. And so, Katie, you did some other things in there that will be helpful to you, and God was preparing you for something that was very different than here. Talk to us a little bit about that.
So like gardening and chickens and rabbits and whatnot? Okay. Yeah. Well, I can't just sit still. So homeschooling and cooking wasn't enough. I had to then learn about chickens and rabbits and gardening.
Was that something that was a part of your past?
No, I am a city girl for
neither
sure.
Neither was cooking for that
matter. That's true. I didn't know how to cook
that
either.
That was always your phrase. I learned how to cook.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're trying to feed a family of seven in a remote area, because I would say definitely living up here is more remote than I was used to, you got to pinch the pennies where you can. And that led to gardening. And we had first moved, we were renting in Hancock. And I told Josh, we gotta get a different place. I got to be able to garden. I got to like get some food that's cheap. Like, this is ridiculous. You know, if we could just have chickens and could get eggs, like I would just think of how much our budget would go down with that. So anyway, and then also with homeschooling, I knew that the kids' experience in outdoors with animals and gardening was good for them too. So that's what led there, which then, of course, when you have a garden and chickens, that leads to canning and grinding your own flour. And I'm trying to think, am I forgetting anything?
No, I don't know.
Making kombucha and I don't know. It's like a can
lots
of worms.
Of strange things that
yeah,
we got into.
I just had to try it all after a while.
But it was really kind of cool because, you know, when we first got married, it was you could cook, but we were happy with, you know, easy meals
boxed.
and you know, bread and
right.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, you know, kind of simple stuff. And it was like
ramen noodles.
So we
delicious.
May not have access to that type of stuff. I mean, we kind of will, but more affordable range
it will
be in.
So everything is shipped in except for produce, and they don't have, they can't grow grains there. So like grains are shipped in. So actually another interesting aspect to this is the kids learn to eat things that they're going to be eating when we're in the Solomons too. So it's not like I'm taking kids who are like, green, no thank you, or whatever. Mm. You know, they're willing to try different vegetables and things that don't look normal.
They love sweet potatoes.
Yeah, that's handy.
So you have raised all of your support to go.
Yep.
And COVID has put a little bit of a hiccup, like it's put a hiccup in everybody's life. But mm-hmm. in your travel plans, you're still stateside for a little bit here and hoping that opens up in the very near future. Prior to that, though, you were going and you're doing some training.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. One of the neat things was that with not being able to travel for COVID, one of the things she had asked me before was, you know, I'd love to do some medical training, maybe some college classes here or anything. And that opened up a door with another mission agency down, was it North Carolina?
It was too? North Carolina.
So also North Carolina that she was able to fly down to and got some basic training. I guess I should let you talk about this piece.
No, it was a 2-week intensive doing medical things in the jungle, not having access to hospitals and the care that we have here in the United States. So I was able to tell how a bone is broken or fractured, which
has come in handy.
It has come in handy. Anna broke her or fractured her wrist, and I was able to tell, was it serious or not? So just some things like that. I'm trying to think of another specific example of medical things. Just really, I wanted to know
things like that you were not mm-hmm. super well informed on.
It's really easy as a mom to get like, oh no, quick, take them to the ER. Like, and I didn't have that option. The only option we would have would be to emergency evacuate. That's a lot of pressure to decide if something's serious enough for that. So I felt like it really put my mind at ease as far as being able to make that choice. Okay, I know when something's serious or not. But that was what I got.
I was signed up for a course that I was going to take in Missouri. I think it was Ethnos 360. And I was going to go through them for some off-grid training just for the helpful things.
What is off-grid training?
The idea of living without a connection to the power grid, maybe a water system or all those things. And you're doing it all on your own, isolated kind of a concept. So because some of the systems there in Solomons, like, for example, there is no central water really. You collect it on your roof and then – or from your roof and during the rains, and then you use it. And that's what a lot of people use for their water. There is a decent power grid system now, but they've had a lot of problems in the past. So they've got a solar power system and a battery backup and generators and stuff like that. So part of what I'll be doing as the operations manager is overseeing all that stuff, making sure it's up and running, being maintained and all that. And I'm a jack of all trades, master of none kind of thing. And so I pick up on a lot of things. That's a few of those I had never dealt with before. And so I was trying to take this class and it ended up canceling because of COVID, and they sent me all the material online, the previously recorded episodes, and so I could just study through whatever I needed to. It was a really, really helpful group of guys. And then that opened the door for me to go on down to JARS in North Carolina, which is like a partner organization with Wycliffe. And they mainly focus on aviation and whatnot, but they also do power and communications and whatnot. And so a group of guys there were able to give me a huge crash course on all things radio and satellite and battery and solar power panel. So it was really, really cool, good stuff that, you know, I'm not an expert, but now I know enough to take care of a few issues and troubleshoot and from the other side of the world when I'm communicating back with the team here. So that'll be really helpful, actually.
So you guys are gearing up, hopefully end of February, this year maybe. How about that? That's the hope, yeah. Right? And so what's your biggest fear going in?
In the Solomons? Like yes. Fear going there? Well, it was malaria. We were really, really worried about...
Can't you just get a shot for that?
No, you can't.
Oh.
So that was probably our biggest concern before COVID, and now with COVID, I think our concern is maybe quarantine, surviving. It's a three week quarantine when we get there.
Yeah, well, we managed quarantine in North Carolina.
That's
when
true. So anyway, that's a little like it's going to be a little pricey, and we'll be in a brand new country and not know the language perfectly yet. That we'll ever know it perfectly, but be stuck in a hotel for 3 weeks when we get there. So that's a little nerve wracking to me.
As far as general fears for myself, I would say the biggest thing has been for, I would argue this is probably even more than malaria for her, but it's been that our kids will do well with the transition and just everything we're doing there. I mean, our oldest two will be there only for one term. And then, you know, Asher will be there for what? How old is he now? Five, well, almost five. So, you know,
two or
three. At least two or three terms, maybe more. And it's just, it's really wild to see the difference of what it's going to have on their lives and what we're going to do when we get back, where they're going to go and all sorts of things. And so then it's like, they've done a really good job, I think, through the training that Wycliffe gave us and, Jars and those guys that they had a lot of great programs to help the kids learn how to handle the transitions well, to accept where they are and to be able to do the most that they can out of it.
I would add too that because we've been delayed, they've got kind of a training in transition because we've been all over the country. I think they're a little bit more confident in knowing that no matter where they go, they can make friends. They can have fun. We're still a family. We still have our family values. We still will be together. And that there's will be hard parts, but there's also going to be exciting parts, especially since we moved to North Carolina. We were there for 6 months. They made a lot of deep connections and then we left. And it was really hard for them to leave. But I think going through that there then shows them, okay, same thing's going to happen to Solomons. It's going to be hard, but you can make those connections. It'll happen. So I think even this has prepared them more for the Solomons.
So yeah. God, it seems like God had preparation not only for you two, but for the whole family in all of this, and which is pretty incredible to hear. I sit with you guys and have known you guys for a while now. You're just regular folks.
pretty much.
Yeah. That's an overstatement.
Nothing special here.
She's amazing. Aww.
But I mean, you're not, there's not like some like, but you seem very exotic because you're going to this weird place that most of us don't know where that's at or have never been there. You know, if you're going to England or something like that, we could get our heads around that. But what would you tell the listeners that are out there? You said bloom where you're planted type of a concept. What would you say in this whole thing that you've learned, one about God, one about just really calling on your life, whether it be here or there, and how would you kind of just describe that?
I've got a couple things that I think I've taken away from this whole process, at least personally, and maybe you would agree with this too, but it's definitely been to really trust God to be faithful to what he is going to do, which is good because he's a good God, and to trust him in that as we act in faithful obedience to what he's called us to do. You know, and I look back and I see it in various aspects, like when I was at Walmart, you know, there were plenty of times that I struggled with Walmart just not enjoying the job as far as I really did not like retail. And I just never got in my blood as they always said it would. It was hard. And a lot of times I remember telling myself, this is where God has me, and just accepting it and moving forward. And it's like, but in this process, the same kind of thing was when we first got started, it was like, okay, we're ready to go. Let's go. And it's like, oh no, we've got to raise our team first. And it was like, ooh, what do you mean this partnership team? We got to go around and ask people to join with us in prayer and in finances. Uh-oh. I remember early on, my prayers were, God delivers from this, bring all the people together really quickly who are going to be our support team. And then we'll be done and be able to leave it. And it was in that process that I actually got to really see what God was doing as he jumped in and provided in really crazy ways. All we had to do was be faithful to communicate with people and let them know what God was doing and ask them to pray about whether God would have them join. And they were doing it. And we even had people that were joining that we hadn't even talked to. And it was just so crazy to see God at work in mighty ways. And all we had to do was be faithful. And it wasn't because of our faithfulness, because of his goodness. And it was really cool to see that coming through in all things. So as far as being able to take that and apply it to somebody else is, you know, whatever God's called you to do right here, right now, that's what you need to be faithful at, doing it to the best of your ability, which is part of the Great Commission, obviously, for all of us. But whatever that be, you know, your work, your volunteer, your family, whatever it is, it's like you have to be faithful in that aspect and be looking for God to show himself faithful, because that's where, you know, that's where it comes from. And really truly seeing God's goodness at work in it instead of so easily frustrated, like, you know, once again, another delay, you know, but God is on the move, you know, and we don't understand it. And we've seen enough times, and I love to tell people, it's like, I look back and I'm like, I see this while we were going through it. It was this crazy roller coaster ride up and down and left and right. Never seemed like this thing was going to be, you know, where we're supposed to be. And then we get to where we're at and I look back and I see, oh, that was God getting us ready for this. That was him preparing us for that. That was him bringing us there. And it helped us in this way and in that way. And so then I look forward and I say, well, now it's going to be this flat, smooth, straight track and it'll be no more craziness. And it's like, obviously that's not realistic. You know, God's got more hills and stuff to go through and I don't know what it looks like, but I can be thankful. And in this moment, right here, right now, that maybe, yeah, I don't know why we didn't catch the first big flight up from high risk countries is the 7th. We don't get to be on that flight. Well, hopefully we'll be on one of the next ones, you know, and that's a lot of priorities that have to fall into place for us to be able to do that. But we're really excited. That's what we're praying about. But I can still be thankful that God has his reasons for why we're still here and not over there, and that we're still trying to faithfully get there, trusting that he is good and that where we're at right at the moment is right where he wants us to be, and working forward from there.
That's so good.
I was going to use that same.
Oh, sorry.
No, no, it was perfect because I was going to say that same thing. We look in the back and we're like, oh, God was doing all that stuff. Okay, now we look forward, but it's smooth. Now we know
what
he's doing.
Now it's on track with what we want.
It's smooth sailing now. And I realized that for me, it was the expectation. So I had expectations coming out of college. I had expectations moving to the UP. I had expectations. And I kept being like, ugh. Or I should say I was tempted. I was tempted to be like, what, you know, you never called me to missions. Like, this is ridiculous. I'm just sitting here. I'm just a mom, you know. And that's... I think that's my biggest lesson coming through this, that those expectations, God is doing something. My expectation should be in him, what he's doing, not in how I think it should look. And so now moving forward, when we started raising funds, I didn't expect that to be any sort of good thing. I mean, I didn't think it would be awful, but I wasn't like expecting it to be like good for our family or like bring about anything other than, oh, we survived.
Something to endure.
And now looking back through that, I mean, so looking back before we started with Wycliffe, I can see what God was doing. And now even in this, I look back and I can see there's so many good memories. We've met so many people. We've connected with so many churches and just been able to be a part of sharing the vision that Wycliffe has to get people God's word. It's just a really exciting thing. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. I really wouldn't. And I remember somebody telling me that when we started raising funds, they said, you're going to get through the end and you're going to be happy you did. And I was like, yeah, uh-huh, sure. And it's true. I really am thankful for it. And even with the kids, it wasn't easy. It wasn't always easy for the kids to go into new churches with, you know, what do they expect of kids? And, you know, what am I supposed to be as a missionary kid? And, you know, I can't mess up or whatever. It was like we got to work through those things and they got to see different denominations and just opened up their eyes to different ways to worship. Anyway, it was just a really good process. So then having experienced God's goodness in the past, it helps when we look forward and we don't know what's coming. We really don't. We have no idea when we're going to go. We have maybe more hope now than we did a month ago, but we still don't really know. But because of past experiences that God has brought us through, there's no anxiety or fear in it because he's always been faithful. And I expect my expectation then is in him to be faithful. And I won't be disappointed in that.
Yeah, so he's faithful in the waiting, and he's faithful in the arrival, and he's faithful in the preparation, and those are the things that I'm kind of hearing you guys kind of outline in this. Well, this is Pearls and Swine. Thanks for listening to us. If you have any types of questions or if you have any topics that you would like for us to cover, you can email travis@evangelup.org, or you can go for more podcasts to evangelup.org. I want to thank the Gushards for their time with us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.